Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله all unqualified praise is due to Allah and after that all unqualified praise is due to Allah الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين praise be to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته والجمعة مبارك أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الشيطان يعدكم الفقر فقرا ويعمركم بالفحشاء والله يعدكم مغفرة منه وفضلا والله وسيع عليم صدق الله العظيم This is the 268th ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2. An expression of it is, the evil one threatens you with poverty and bids you to conduct unseemly. Allah promises you his forgiveness and bounties, and Allah cares for all, and he knows all things. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. Alhamdulillah, we continue today with the subject among the five major subjects, family, intellect, religion, the self, and property. We are in the fifth property, and this is actually the eighth segment on that. These are the five dururi, those that are mandatory in order to establish ummah. And it is to always be remembered that ummah is why we exist. That's why we as Muslims exist. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ Let there arise out of you an ummah. That's the order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in listening to the recitation before we started, that the story of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam and Allah telling the angels, tell me the names of these if you are correct. and that we only know what you have taught us. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in that section, إِنِّي جَعِلُ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I am making in the earth a khalifa. Khalifa is the same as ummah. It is for us to establish that ummah, a divinely inspired republic on the earth. But there are five mandatory pillars that make that possible, and these are what we have been addressing over these months in the series, and this is the latter part of it. Let me say to you as we proceed, what is our main idea today? The main idea is this: contrasting Satan's plan for man and Allah's plan for man. Satan has a plan in that same series, in a number of places Allah describes. Okay, Allah did this, fashioned Satan, blew into him with his spirit, ordered all to bow down. They all bowed down, not so Iblis. And then all the rest of the story, I think many of you have heard that story. I don't want to try to go into it now to take away from the main point. The main point is that Satan has a plan, and he's always had a plan, and he has been respited. Grant me respite until they are raised, he asked of God. And Allah said, respite is granted, right? But I must say that the respite is actually over with the revelation of the Quran. When Allah revealed the Quran, okay, party's over. He's like, you will be clearly exposed. The light will clearly be put on your deeds, your actions, and those who support your deeds and actions, et cetera. I like to use the analogy of a black light, if you know about the black light. Some of you that go-go dance in the 70s, y'all might remember the black light, you know, with all the zodiac signs on the velvet pictures. Come on now, don't act like you don't know. But I used to come here, I've got my little velvet jacket on, my little blue double breast, and then the vanilla pants, you know what I'm saying? I'm rocking. I'm coming in there. You think you all clean, right? As soon as that black light hits you, man, you got spots everywhere. So, I was clean before I got in that black light. Right? And that's Shaitan. Shaitan, he could get away with everything until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran and sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rahmatan lil alameen, and party's over. But for quote unquote our lifetime and the world, the evolution continues. That is the growth of human beings into what Allah has ordered and what Allah has planned, that's still going on. And so the idea that we're at this point as it relates to the wealth is to understand contrast between Satan's plan and Allah's plan as it relates to our wealth, because that's one of his critical deceptions. One of his critical deceptions is to lie to us and give us and have us to have a false perception of wealth and the role of wealth and how Allah relates to wealth and how righteousness relates to wealth. He wants us to be deceived in that. So let's just go ahead and continue to think about some of these contrasts, inshallah, so that we can see. In the verse that we read, the translators say, because of the word, and Satan threatens you with poverty. What's the term that's used? Ya'idukum. Ya'idukum. So, ya'idukum, he threatens you. Satan threatens you with what? Poverty, right? And then it says also, Allah promises you. And what does it say? Wallahu ya'idukum. So Satan threatens and Allah promises. It's the same word. Satan threatens you. So how would you translate it in the context of someone who doesn't want you to do what Allah is inviting you to do? Don't you do that, you're going to get broke. Don't you do that, you're going to have less money. Don't you give away that wealth because where is it going to, how are you going to replace it? That's Satan threatening you with poverty, saying to you that to give away, you're going to be reducing what is with you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that he promises you his forgiveness and bounties. His forgiveness and bounties. So, you know, the natural question is, well, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe Satan or are you going to believe Allah? Satan says, this is what's going to happen if you do that. Allah says, this is what's going to happen if you do that. Who are you going to believe? See, that's the big thing. Right? The big thing is, okay, I know, I read it in the Quran, I heard what you're saying, I see that those are the same words, et cetera. So that means you're not quite over the illusion that Shaitan has cast in your perception about it. Because as the Quran begins, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is the book. There's no crookedness. There's no doubt in it. I want to say this also, a little sideline. I call it sideline, but it's central. Please, please, we all should pray, and we all must pray and supplicate to Allah. Allah, help me to understand and appreciate that these words in this book, they are your words, and they are more true. They are more sound. They are more permanent. They are more stable than the steel in the Empire State Building. This is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's telling us this. It's not somebody saying, well, let me tell you what God told me. No. It is Allah who said that. So Allah has made this promise. And having made this promise, then if we believe it, then we act on it. The 17th chapter in the 64th verse, speaking in conjunction with what Satan had promised. I won't go through all the stories. You'll remember when he said, Satan said, I will come at them from the right, from the left, from before, from behind, and you'll find most of them not fit for the honor, for the grace, for the place that you have given them. Right? And God said, this is just in fitting for my plan. I'll fill hell with you and whoever follows you. Right? So there's no threat there. This is why Satan is not an enemy of God. And you're going to see that in some of his reading in just a minute. Satan is not an enemy of God. He's the enemy of man. So in 1764, that is not the year 1764, the chapter 17, chapter 64, verse, it says, a translation of it. It says expression. And God says, and he's speaking to Shaitan, and incite to senselessness whoever you can among them with your voice, and assault them with your horses and foot soldiers, and become a partner in their wealth and their children, and promise them. This is what Allah said to Shaitan. And then Allah continues and says, but Satan does not promise them anything except delusion. Satan threatens, i.e. he promises, right? Allah promises. Allah is saying, go ahead, do what you say you're going to do. Now Allah says, whatever he's promising, whatever he's threatening, it's nothing but an illusion. Picture comes to mind of this movie, The Last Witch Hunter. The Last Witch Hunter. Vin Diesel is the quote-unquote hero in the movie. One of those Constantine-type characters. And in one of the scenes, there's a little boy who sees these bits of candy all over the ground. And the little boy goes picking up the candy and going after the candy. And then Vin Diesel's character, can't think of his name, comes in and breaks the illusion. And the little boy has been picking up rotten fruit and being thorns and thistles, if you will. And there's a dark tree and everything is really ugly. And he makes a statement. Then your mother tell you about taking candy from strangers or something like that, right? The idea that the little boy was under the illusion that what he was picking up was candy, something sweet, something likable, when all the time it was an illusion that was cast by the evil one of this. And this is what Shaitan does. Shaitan, we have to say, saying, right, all that glitters ain't gold. Right, all money ain't good money. Those kinds of statements. Well, Shaitan, his job is to make you think that everything that glitters is gold, and to make you think that all money is good money. No, that's his deception, and that deception is what he depends on to distract us until the time of the end. Because that's the, his aim is just, all I want to do is just deceive you until you die. If I succeed at deceiving you until you die, my God is done here. Because when the judgment comes, listen to what Shaitan says, 14th chapter and 22nd verse. When that end arises, it's all over now. Death, resurrection, judgment. And now at the judgment seat, this is what Satan says, according to the creator of the heavens and the earth, right? He says, and Satan will say when the matter has been concluded, indeed, Allah promised you, yes, same word, Allah promised you a promise of truth, and I promised you, but I betrayed you. Who's talking? Satan is saying. What is he doing? He's telling you the truth. He's telling the truth. He was only lying as long as he was on his program, right? Hey, let's go up. He said, listen, he said, but I betrayed you. I promised you, but I betrayed you. But I had no authority over you except that I invited you. And you responded to me. So do not blame me, but blame yourself. I cannot be called to your aid. Look at all this truth Satan is saying. I cannot be called to your aid. I can't help you, homie. I can't help you. I can't be called to your, nor can you be called to my aid. I already knew I was going down some time. I opened my mouth saying I'm better than him. I knew prior to me, but I just bought all the way in. Okay. I ain't going down by myself, though. Right? That's Satan. Maybe you heard that before from somebody. I cannot be called to your aid, nor can you be called to my aid. Indeed, Satan talking. I deny your association of me with Allah before. Indeed, for the wrongdoers is a painful punishment. Who's doing that to us? Satan. Spent his whole existence distracting, deceiving the human being so that he could take as many as he possibly could to hell with him. That shows you also, Satan does not own hell. Satan is not in charge of hell. That hell that you see on them videos, that's their hell. And in their hell, they have a lot of pleasure in that hell. No, you ain't going to have that. It's no such pleasure like what you're imagining in hell. And we don't even want to try to get into the descriptions of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. In terms of, so these two words, there's a promise, and then the promise of Satan is nothing but delusion. And as we said in the verse, or we read in the verse, he says, incite whoever you can among them with your voice. That's a power that Satan has. If you've listened to these people who are promoting corrupt ways of being, corrupt ways of thinking, they can be so smooth. Their logic can be so unsettling. Sometimes, what can I do with that? They have this way of reasoning and smooth, glib, fluid talk, and they're promoting corruption. But if you don't have the mind to decipher, to get beyond the illusion that they are casting, that's why they call it a spell, right? Because the words is what's being used to cast that illusion. And so it's that voice that deceives people. If you don't have the knowledge to be able to untie the knot in their reasoning or to break the rationalization that they are providing, then you may find yourself in their net and going down. This is something that we have to be very, very aware of. So another word that plays into this line of thinking to understand the difference between Satan's plan for man and Allah's plan for man is khalafa, khalafa, this word. So we're speaking about words where the same word is used, but God says it, and in the revelation, God is also saying what Satan said, same word that's being used. And this is in the interest of us seeing through the illusion that's cast by Shaitan. So in the 14:22 that I just read, and Satan will say to them, when the matter is concluded, indeed Allah has promised you a promise of truth, and I promise you, but I betrayed you. So this this word, yes, so it says, Auzubillah, it says, wa'adakum, wa'ad al-haq, this is wa'ad al-haq, Allah gave you a promise, the promise of truth, wa'adakum, and I made you a promise, fa'akhlaftukum. This akhlaftukum is saying, translated as, and I betrayed you. I betrayed you. But the same term that's used there, akhleftukum, that I betrayed you, is also in 34:39, the earlier reading, when I say earlier, from previous. Juma 34:39, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ. God says, and whatever you spend, it will be returned to you. This is what Allah says. Allah says, look, connect it. It says that in terms of the threat of poverty, if you give in that charity, if you give that, then you're going to lose it. You're not going to benefit from it. He threatens you with poverty if you intend to do good deeds or give in charity, etc. That's what he said. That's his promise. That's his threat. And then he explained in the verse that we just read, said that I made you a promise. Okay, I threatened you. I promised you. But I broke my promise. I lied to you. I betrayed you. I deceived you. Same word that Allah uses when Allah says, whatever you spend in charity, yukhlifuhu, it's going to be returned to you. So when Shaitan says it, that word is saying, I'm lying, I'm betraying you, I'm turning back on my promise. It's an illusion. But what Allah is saying, he said, whatever you spend is going to be returned to you. The same promise goes back to the same thing. Who are you going to believe? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the illusion that we're operating on until we get over it. And I truly mean this in the most possible concrete way. If we are not satisfied in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said / promised, we withhold our giving. We withhold our giving. And many times that withholding of giving is because of that fear. Just so you really have to think about that. Why am I afraid to give? And why am I in my giving, knowing my capacity to give, why am I as miserly as I am, given what I know that I have as a capacity? I know that really wasn't no real giving. For me, at the level that says this is a demonstration of how my faith, based on what Allah has given me, that I'm going to show to myself and to God, not for the people, to myself and to God, I really believe what you said. And that whatever I give is going to be returned to me. So the idea of the illusion is that Shaitan wants us to think in these, just whatever you can call it, I'll call it common sense term, meaning the five senses. You see a stack like this, you take something off the stack and you give it away, stack is shorter. So therefore you think, well, see, I got less right there. That's because you're only looking in one world. In God's world, you just increased your wealth. And it's going to be returned to you. And this Yuchlifu also is speaking about getting a return. This is a business term. That's a business term. I'm trying to make a return on my money. Where did that come from? It comes from Allah. You're trying to get a return, right? Before you return. Yeah, work with that. So in 34:39, Allah uses the same term to say that whatever you spend in his cause, it will be returned to you. I mean, really, how you give it, it's gone, you expect it to go. I'm thinking about a biblical verse right now. The biblical verse says, cast your bread upon the waters, and in many days you'll find it returned to you. And that's all the bread. Hey, man, I need me some bread, man. You ain't talking about Langendorf. I'm going to go way back on somebody, Langendorf. I need some dough. Cast your bread upon the waters, and in many days you'll see it coming back to you. You give that zakat. You give that charity. You give it knowing that Allah's promise is true. And this is why Allah says, and this good deeds are best as a source of reward and of hope. Anybody in here that has an investment, you have a hope that that investment pays off. Let me holler at my cryptocurrency people. I know. It's like, yeah, man, I've been holding these thousand business, jojo.com or whatever. You know, they still at 9 cents. But when they hit, it's gone 10x, 100x, et cetera, et cetera. You have hope. Right? So, but Allah is saying good deeds are best as hope and as a source of reward. Who said it? The creator of the heavens and the earth. So every good deed you do, every charity you give, every zakat you give is an investment in your God-based portfolio. And you walk around with more hope because you know that the promise is true. And what Allah gives us is a promise that is sure. رَبَّنَا أَتَيْنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. الله أكبر. بسم الله. So Satan promises, and his promise fails. Allah promises, his promise is sure, surer than sure in terms of the way we think. And so the challenge is, we have to practice actions that affirm that belief, right? We have to do those things that, bit by bit by bit, lead us into a way of being. Well, that's just our habit. It's just our habit. You don't even think about it. You know, we talk about unconscious, incompetent, unconscious, competent, conscious, competent, and conscious, unconscious, competent. So it's just a movement. The point is, there's certain things that you know you should do, but you can't do them well at that point, whatever it is that we're talking about. It doesn't matter, whatever we're talking about, it's a skill set, right? So if you take giving in with respect to Allah's promises and with respect for the fact that Allah wants us to use charity, zakat, as an investment and a wealth-creating strategy. This is what we missed. In the earlier verses, 30:39, I believe is the number, where it says that whatever you give in the interest of accumulating wealth among men is not going to accumulate wealth, meaning that's your central focus. I got to get my money from other men. God says, if that's your focus, that's not going to increase your wealth or your holdings with me. But whatever you give in zakat is the term that's used, but that's not the only way to give. But Allah says, whatever you give in zakat, it will be increased, manifold. This is what Allah said. So Allah wants us to use, who is it that will loan to Allah a beautiful loan that Allah will return it to him and in double the credit? That's what Allah is saying. Invest in me, my plan, my way, my system. It awaits what you are hoping for from men. I have more than men. Invest in me. So when you invest in that, and so Allah wants us to use it as a welfare. It's not just a going away strategy. It's a giving away in order to increase what Allah wants to increase what is with you, because you have the heart to give so that you can give more to his servants who need. You're Abdullah. You're a servant of Allah. You're walking down the street. You see all these homeless people. You see all these hungry people. You see all these people whose lives is just an inch above a dog's life. And you look and you don't do anything. You don't say anything. You don't. How is that? Yeah, that's the pain of the soul in the light of all this wealth and prosperity and what we have. And you see rows and rows and rows of tents on the street. You're a servant of Allah. And you're a servant of Allah. Serve the people who need to be served. And then when you do that, Allah will give you more to serve them with. Do you believe that? See, that's the point. If you believe it, you do it. I'm going to conclude with this. It's no story, right? In order to have the life that Allah has promised, the life that Allah has promised the believers, it's real simple. Just add water. The story is about a man who was lost in the desert. He was dying of thirst, chasing mirages, gurur, illusions, chasing mirages in the sand. Chasing mirages in the sand. He stumbled after one of the last mirages and found himself in a ghost town with a well in the center of town. He pumped and pumped the handle, but no water came out. Then he saw a note on a can that was attached to the pump that read, "Look behind the black rock for a 1 gallon leather bag. Fill the bag with water. Don't drink a single drop. Every drop is needed just to prime the pump." So the man was tempted, but did not drink a single drop. The leather bag did hold just enough to prime the pump, meaning leather bag, a can with some water in the leather bag. Pump's not working. Instructions, go to the rock, get the leather bag. In the leather bag, there's going to be a cup with water in it, okay? He says the leather bag will hold just enough to prime that pump, and water gushed forth. The man, however, was tempted, but he didn't drink a single drop. Continue. He didn't drink a single drop. The leather bag did hold just enough to prime that pump, and it gushed forth abundantly. One last instruction was listed on that note. Please fill the leather bag again and replace it behind the rock for the next weary soul that comes along. In our lives, it's often difficult to give up an immediate reward or benefit in the hope of something more lasting. So I fractured the tale a little bit, but the idea is, man traveling through the desert, about to die of thirst, lands in a ghost town, sees a pump in the center of town, pumps, nothing there, notices the note, The note says, go to the rock. There's a leather bag with water in it. It's just enough water to prime the pump. Don't drink it. You need every drop. So the man says, hell, I'm thirsty. But he's not. Takes it, primes the pump with that little bit that was in the bag that if he didn't defer the gratification, he would have drank it and that would have been it. But because he was willing to take what was there and first prime the pump, then the pump gave him, the well gave him all the water that he needed. But he had an obligation to look out for the one that's coming behind him. So fill that leather bag with, again, the kind of level of water that was there for you. And that's how the cycle goes. So that just add water, that water move is the move that we're all being invited to. You have wealth, then you need to prime the pump of God for your benefit. Because Allah has plenty, but if the well is dry, well, then you need to prime the pump. Allahu la ilaha illahu al-khaliq al-qayyum. La ta'khudhu sinatan wa la nawm. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفه عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريات ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لي ولي ولدي وللمؤمنين يوم يحكم الحساب Allah, we thank you for your graces. We thank you for your blessings. And we know you have told us and we believe that if we are grateful, you will give us more. Oh Allah, we believe we refuse to be under the illusion of shaitan. Protect us from the deceptions of shaitan, the delusions of shaitan. Oh Allah, bless us to live true to the promise that you have made because we know your promise is true. Oh Allah, we beg this if you only for none and grant we hold this but you. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Wa alaykum as-salam. لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله استوى استقيم يهامكم الله وسابكم الله make a real straight and even even space between and stay time divided and those on straight our hearts want to greet you can hit that door a little bit just yeah. Open it up yeah thank you استوى الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين الحاكم تكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترؤون الجحيم ثم لترؤونها عين اليقين ثم لا تسألون يومئذ عن النعيم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. غير المغضوب عليهم. تقبل الله. الحمد لله. الله أكبر. Alhamdulillah, so we will make a couple of announcements from the mashallah, you make sense, it's okay. Just don't start conversations on the floor, please. Alhamdulillah, anniversary recognition. Jeremiah Meredith Brooks. Alhamdulillah, now we know your first name. Jeremiah Meredith Brooks. Alhamdulillah. And Carl Hanifa Peter. Alhamdulillah. Happy anniversary for them. Tomorrow, Meshua Things, ongoing yard sale, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., variety of bargains. I'm not going to say nothing about anything in particular, but it's going to be some serious deals out there. Also, the Muslim movement, activity that exercise, well, maybe I shouldn't call it exercise, people get scared. Muslim movement, this moving. With fitness trainer Ibrahim Shaheed and holistic health and wellness coach, Kiyama Nasir at Masjid al-Warthin. That's right here in the backyard. And that's every Saturday at noon. Also, bring your bottle of water, bring your towel. The youth group of Masjid al-Warthin in partnership with the Give Back Gang and New African Kitchen will, inshallah, host a free, I hear conversations. Old conversations, guys. If you're talking to the Zakat lady, that's okay. But if you ain't talking to the Zakat lady, then... Yeah, that's a, okay. Maybe that's it. Might be time for a battery change. I don't know. Let's see. Everybody can hear me all right, right? All right, let's go. So, the youth group of Master War Team, in partnership with the Get Back Gang and New Africa Kitchen World, inshallah, host a free community barbecue. That's free. From 3 to 6 p.m. September 2nd. September 2nd. Right here in the backyard, Master War Thing. Our condolences to Zarina Alameen Majid family, whose sister in Mobile, Alabama, passed away on the 27th in Nalullah. Brother Alpha, you told me that Brother Sharif, Brother Pierce is in the hospital. He's in San Leandro Kaiser, is it? What is it? It's just San Leandro Hospital. It's like a clinic. Okay. Inshallah, we'll get the address, and inshallah, let's keep him in our du'a. And somebody called me yesterday. Oh yeah, Brother Carlos called, and his daughter, her name is Latifa. His daughter got a critical diagnosis and sufficient to call to ask for our du'a, for our prayer. So check in on Brother Carlos, let him know that you heard you and you. You're praying for him and his family. So I think that's it. Unless there's some other. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hey, what's up? How you doing? Good, good, good. I'm away for cooler weather. And I'm gonna drop it on him, bro. And I say, woo, look at these, man. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, Fahim. Wa alaikum assalam. Okay, alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. Throughout the week. Yeah. Okay. Okay, good. Yeah, we're working on developing more programming activities. But I'd like you to check in with that brother right there, the black shirt, Ibrahim. He's talking with his hands up right there. Yeah, right there. Talk to the guy in the white shirt. Right now. Yeah, right. Him. Check in with him. All right, good, good. Appreciate you. What's your name? Saleh. Muhammad. That's a lot of names, bro. A lot of living up to do. A lot of living up to do. Shukran. Look forward to seeing you do what you do, man. You got videos anywhere? You need to holler at him because he's got a regular, so he's active. He's got a real video presence online, too. So he'll talk. You can talk. Here he is right here. It's all about the physicality, all about the movement. Like my time, I have a one body. Allah, how good to see you. Yeah, who is this? You didn't talk to me. Come on, come on. Can you come on? Come on. John Benjamin. Damn, give me some more description of him, man. Look, I mean, you would look on the shelf and see if there's anything with another brother. If he was here, I know, because we can get stacked from folks. But if you see a Quran on there, that's good. Yeah. And let it know it's from me. He's in our dua. It's good, man. I'll pray. We pray it gets better. Well, he might have known me. I said, I'm late.